от Совета министров СССР. На Чернобыльской атомной электростанции произошла авария. Поврежден один из атомных реакторов.
For the first time ever, the Soviet Union admits it has had a nuclear accident, and it's clearly a major one.
Dave, you okay?
Oh, no. No.
No. Oh, my God!
Cut him off.
A missile may impact on land or sea within minutes. This is not a drill.
Good evening. The people around Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the Three Mile Island nuclear plant were told they can sleep in their own homes tonight. There will be no evacuation of the area, though pregnant women and young children are still being advised to stay away. Engineers and scientists are working to solve the problems inside the containment building where the nuclear reactor core is overheated. But while a meltdown is still considered a possibility, officials say there is no imminent danger.
Our emergency warning system faces a crisis. It is a crisis of its own making. Two of the bits of audio in the opening montage you've just heard are historic bits of news coverage. One is fiction from a movie. One is a false alert issued by someone for some reason in what authorities want us to accept as human error. It's from Hawaii. If the public is going to accept and trust emergency warning systems, everyone who has a stake in the system is going to have to do much better. I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 4, Episode 6. A few decades ago, it was not terribly difficult to reach a great proportion of the population with an emergency message. In the mid to late 20th century, emergency messages were broadcast by radio and television stations. Everyone with a radio or TV knew about the warning system because the system was frequently tested and listeners or viewers were told, "This is a test."
This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency broadcasting system. This is only a test.
Emergency awareness was likely more important to many people in those days. The world was in a state of what we called the Cold War, with the United States and its allies on alert and suspicious of the Soviet Union and its allies. What if there's a nuclear war? Where I grew up, there was an emergency siren on a tower, just a few blocks from home, and now and then, the siren would be tested. Decades later, I'll suggest, at least in most of North America, we feel we face virtually no such threats. We still have TV, but a lot of people don't have it on to watch in real time. They watch shows on demand when they want them. We still have radio, and while listenership is still high, a growing number of people do not have the radio on, at home all day, or in the car, or in the workplace. The thinking is, we need a way to reach people. Regardless of whether people are using mass media at any given moment, one thing is true. Almost everyone is carrying a device capable of receiving emergency alerts. So in Canada, beginning in 2018, the emergency alert system was retooled so that the alert sent out would reach, in theory, every cell phone in the warning center's jurisdiction. They're still working on that. The planned tests, the actual emergency alerts such as the Amber Alerts for missing children and the alerts sent in error, all show that somehow the system is not able to send messages simultaneously to every single cell phone number in service. And there have been hundreds of complaints about real alerts that have gone out, some cell phone users complaining, "Why are you disturbing me about something that does not seem to apply to me?" Which brings us to an early Sunday morning in January, 7:23 in the morning, Sunday, January 12th, when my phone lights up and starts blaring with an emergency alert. I reach to turn on the radio, and there it is on air. The emergency alert overrides the radio station control room. The host on air might have no idea it's happening until their own phone alerts them, and then they can assume they've been interrupted by the alert on air and start to deal with the information. That's what happened on this early Sunday morning. News Talk 1010 in Toronto, CFRB, was quick and resourceful, host and newscaster and show producer in the control room, starting to search for information and reaching out to contacts. Here's where it all falls apart, and evidence of my contention, the emergency alert system faces a crisis of confidence of its own creation. The alert goes out at 7:23 in the morning. Here's what it says. This is a Province of Ontario emergency bulletin which applies to people within 10 kilometers of the Pickering Nuclear Generating Station. An incident was reported at the Pickering Nuclear Generating Station. There has been no abnormal release of radioactivity from the station, and emergency staff are responding to the situation. People near the Pickering Nuclear Generating Station do not need to take any protective actions at this time. Remain tuned to local media for further information and instructions. Crisis communications professional practice would dictate that communications experts from the organizations involved in the potential emergency should be ready for public comment to get on the air and online with information, especially since that message concludes with, remain tuned to local media. But nothing happened after this alert went out. Nothing! At 8:06 Sunday morning, the Ontario Power Generation Organization, which operates the nuclear plant, sends out a tweet. It says, important update. The alert regarding Pickering Nuclear was sent in error. There is no danger to the public or the environment. This is 43 minutes after the alert. At 9:11 Sunday morning, 1 hour and 48 minutes after the alert went out, the emergency alert system finally follows up. There is no active nuclear situation taking place at the Pickering Nuclear Generating Station. The previous alert was issued in error. There is no danger to the public or environment. No further action is required. At 12:25 Sunday afternoon, 5 hours after the false alert, the Ontario Ministry of the Solicitor General issues on its website under Media Releases a statement suggesting the message was sent in error during a routine training exercise. I think that is not entirely accurate. Here's what I think we know now, nearly 6 weeks later, as I'm producing this episode. There was no training exercise. There was no incident. There was, it seems, human error. It must have been human error. It's a hell of a human error. If anything we've been told is true, here's what might have happened. We now understand, at the start of each shift at the Ontario Emergency Communications Center, it is standard practice to test the emergency alert system internally. A message is supposed to be sent internally so the team on shift knows it is working. They must have quite a variety of messages to choose from, I suppose. Maybe this time it was just that point in the rotation of messages for a nuclear alert. Here's something I'm pretty sure of, because while I wrote the bones of this story just after the incident and then waited for the outcome of the Ontario government's promised investigation, I'm recording now, 6 weeks after the incident. No government cabinet minister or senior bureaucrat has come out with any further information. If there was an investigation, it's at risk of being labeled a cover-up because that button was pushed 6 weeks ago. The news media has lost its curiosity. Many residents have too. However, we know that residents were so shaken by the incident that within the next few days, there were 40,000 requests for iodine tablets at drugstores in the Pickering area. Those are the tablets people who live within a few kilometers of a nuclear plant are told to keep in the house in case of an incident. So now we know tens of thousands of households do not follow even that basic safety measure. We also know that after a false alert went out, outside of office hours, it took 43 minutes for the nuclear station specified in the false alert to try to refute the false information. 43 minutes. News Talk Radio, especially News Talk 1010 in Toronto, did a fabulous job dropping everything else, calling up newsmakers who know, getting an extra host on air, sending a reporter to the scene, breaking the news. It was a false alert. But every agency involved officially or that should have got involved and reacted failed. Every one of their chains of communication should be under review. They should all take a refresher in emergency communication. And radio, which performs so well in the spur of the moment, should hold them all to account. The next false alert could cause real panic or could be dismissed as probably just another false alert. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach radio.